Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Dr. Sam Hadari. Sam brings 3 decades of extensive management experience in the semiconductor sector. He currently holds the position of CEO at Lemotive, serves as chairman at Arctic Semiconductor, and advises multiple technology startups. Previously, he served as CEO and chairman at Quantenna Communications, CEO at Dorados Technologies, and CTO at Ikonos. Welcome to the podcast, Sam.
Thank you, Daniel. Thanks for having me.
First, I'd like to ask, how did you get started in semiconductors?
Well, it has been a long story. I kind of fell into it. After I graduated with my PhD, you know, in the communications and signal processing, semiconductor was the best means to implement all those algorithms and ideas that, you know, we had into the field. And it was a boom of computers, internet, wireless, and all of those. So the best way, the fastest way, the cheapest way was using semiconductors. So I joined the company to implement those ideas, and I've been with various semiconductor companies since, implementing various solutions out there.
Oh, that's a good story. So I'm not familiar with your company. Can you tell us about Lemotive and the solid-state beam steering technology and why it represents a breakthrough?
Yeah, Lemotive is actually very unique. After being in the semiconductor business for many, many years and using your typical state-of-art methods to implement architectural ideas, algorithms into the semiconductors and getting them out there, Lemotive is the first time that I'm involved with a company which is going to the foundational of the processes to build a new way of doing semiconductors. These semiconductors are essential in the field of optics, and they have introduced a new way of doing things which we call programmable optics. Being able to change the nature of the light, manipulating it, steering it, forming it, all electronically through CMOS, a way which was not done before. Being able to bring a new technology, a new method into optics by using your traditional methods of CMOS. So that was actually, Lemotive was very exciting for me to join, because it was not just a incremental better design, but it was a fundamental shift in areas of optics using CMOS.
And can you talk a little bit more about how this technology will improve people's lives in the immediate future and, you know, over the next few years?
Yeah, so light is actually, you know, we don't realize it. It is a big portion of many different applications that it is used today. Or it could even have a bigger potential. Using an example, you know, light is using communications. It could be using computing, holographic displays, and more. One of the applications that lately has come together is the use of the light for 3D sensing, what we call LiDAR. And it is actually used in many different applications already that we don't realize, but one of the obvious ones that has been the big point of focus has been using in automotive, both for safety, autonomy, and more. I don't know if you have seen these big mechanical units which sits on top of the cars, some of these test cars that's been driven around in Silicon Valley and else, or these robot taxis. These mechanical units, all they're doing is they're directing the laser to different directions in order to build a perception of the environment. Well, one of the things that we can do, along with 100 other things that we can do, is to take all that mechanical units out and replace it by a simple CMOS chip, which is not only smaller, cheaper, but it's also more reliable, more accurate, and introduces new functionalities, because everything is introduced, everything is done electronically. So that's one example. And 3D sensing is part of our future. 3D sensing, our future is going to be all about autonomy, it's going to be all about optimization, it's going to be all about augmenting the physical world with the digital world and vice versa. So all of this is needs 3D sensing. So one example of where this technology can be used is 3D sensing, but also has other areas of applicability too. For example, AI computing. We can do, by manipulating light, we can change the information, we can manipulate the information, which is equivalent of computation. So we can do the computation in the speed of light. Or optical communications. So all of these are the areas that this technology could bring a benefit to.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, automotive is of interest to everybody because cars are such a big part of our life. You know, they're very personal.
Right.
But yeah, I can see other wide range of applications here. So what does Lumotive do differently?
So what Lumotive has done is this problem has been pending forever. I mean, one extra interesting data point is we use radio waves for many different applications. We use it for 3D sensing, we use it for communication and more. But we have been able to manipulate, change directions, form the radio waves for decades now. It is in your cell phone, you're able to direct the RF energy toward the cell station. If you weren't doing that, your cell phone battery will run out very quickly, probably within minutes, if you were just spreading lights all over the place. Never mind, could even make the connection because just be too much energy had to send out and probably be bad for you. So a lot of new technologies have been able by being able to manipulate the radio waves electronically. This problem was not solved in the optical domain. So we are in 2024. We are still using mechanical units or the brute force ways of dealing with this problem. So what Lumotive has done has solved that issue, that you can take control of the light through electronic devices. Now, whatever the application your mind can imagine, let it be. But Lumotive have solved that issue that you can take control of light, which is just another wavelength of electromagnetic waves compared to RF. That's the part that we have solved. And this part, if you think about it, in 2024, it still was not solved in an economical, commercial fashion.
So let's talk a little bit more about 3D sensing. Where do you see 3D sensing going? You know, can you talk a little bit more about some of the applications there in 3D sensing?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The 3D sensing, as I mentioned, has a bright future. I mean, the numbers that we hear from the analysts, you know, it's going to be tens of the billions of dollars into 3D sensing. I just wrote a little article that one of our futurist projections was that, you know, there's going to be robots, for example, are going to be a $1 trillion business, not into the far future. And robots, automotive, drones, factory automation, even your consumer electronics are going to need 3D sensing. You know, as I mentioned, as we go forward, more and more automation in our lives, more and more autonomy, more and more optimization of the processes, augmented reality, gaming, entertainment, training, all of these things are going to need 3D sensing. So a smarter infrastructure, which, you know, helps us with more efficiency, energy savings, and so forth. It is going to be everywhere. Now, the problem is there is no ideal 3D sensing solution out there. Things like radar, which are used in a major way, are not great in resolution. They do have an issue with a lot of metal around because of the reflections of metal. Cameras can get fooled easy. They don't have the very good resolution about depth and distance, and so on. So we have not had the perfect solution out there. And that's why, actually, if you think about it, using these mechanical units with lasers, you must be crazy to put something bulky, ugly, expensive on top of the cars to make this thing happen. The only reason we do that is because there is no other viable solution, and LiDAR is doing the job. The problem has been you're not able to make this in a small size and economical. So we have solved that issue, and we think with that, we can accelerate adaptation of more and more 3D sensing. Our objective is to make 3D sensing ubiquitous across all different applications. And, you know, by doing that, we introduce safety, optimizations of our everyday lives and so on, to bring a better life to human beings because of being able to do that.
Interesting. What other applications are you looking at for your technology? I mean, is 3D sensing the only one, or are there other application areas that you can serve?
Yeah, so we are a small company, and we do have to pick our games one at a time, and, you know, to be able to build the momentum. So definitely 3D sensing is our focus today. But we do have conversations around optical communications and other type of applications as well. I would say if you were going to burn 100 calories on various applications, 90 plus of that is today 3D sensing for us, and the rest is a spread on the investigation mode in the other type of applications. But we do understand, we do appreciate what this technology can bring to everyone, and we are keeping everything else in mind, either organically or through partnerships.
You know, it's interesting. I spent some time on your website, and there was a mention of edge AI. Can you tell us more about that and maybe some specific applications that you're looking into?
The context is edge AI sitting next to 3D sensing. I don't think what we are discussing on our website is more about using our technology in edge AI, but taking the benefit of edge AI, which comes to the edge, where the physical environment happens, to be able to provide a better perception to that computation. So with having a more power-optimized computing, bringing more computation to the end devices, you're going to enable a smarter and a smarter world out there, but your brain is as good as the perception that you have from the physical environment. So if you have a very strong computation, but you don't have any senses of where your environment is, or you have a limited senses of where your environment is, you can only do so much with that computation. So what we are saying is, as the computation is evolving to be better, a better perception mechanism is going to be the bottleneck of enabling new applications out there. So with advancements in AI and bringing AI to the edge, we have an opportunity to bring better perception to the edge to take the benefit of that computation.
Great. So final question, Sam, what's next for Lumotive? You know, tell us what we can expect from you over the next few months and maybe a couple of years.
Well, actually, you know, to answer that, let me tell you that what was our path here and what is remaining. So we have spent close to 8 years of R&D to develop this technology. Many, many years have been spent in the foundries, semiconductor foundries, twisting the processes to make sure we can make this thing work. Now our products, after many years, are ready for commercial deployment. So we actually announced our customer announced their first product based on Lumotive going out into the market about a week ago, less than a week ago from time that we are recording this conversation. So now there's two different stages in front of us for Lumotive. One is commercialization, more and more customers going out there in various applications. Our first customers are going after industrial type of applications, being industrial robotics, factory automation, and so on. And then there is a wave of the customers who could be in the line for smart infrastructures, for consumer or robotics or drones and else. Automotive definitely is an area of interest for us. All of these things are being worked on. So market expansion based on a product that over years we have come to brought it to a stage of readiness for deployment. And then next stage for us is to build our second generation product, which is same fundamental technology, but only better. Better in cost, size, performance, and more. So we have already started the path toward our second generation, and that's what we are going to be working on for the next few years to make sure that's commercially available.
You know, I did spend some time on your website. Great website. I really enjoyed it. It's very informative. So you can reach Sam and his staff on lumotive.com. And Sam, thank you for your time. And hopefully we can talk again next year and get an update.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. And thanks for taking the time over the long weekend for us to talk.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.